Good morning. It's great to be with you again. If you cast your mind back a year ago, you wouldn't probably have heard of Zoom. Many of us hadn't. I hadn't have heard of Zoom a year ago. And now we spend so much of our time on the thing that most of us would rather not switch onto Zoom because we're fed up of the thing. But one of the interesting things about Zoom is that you just don't know what people are wearing. You get to see the top half, but you never know. They're sitting there in their pajamas, or they've got some very stylish socks on. Now, these are probably the most expensive pair of socks I've bought. And I want to tell you this morning why I bought these socks. And you may be wondering why I'm wearing these. And you may be thinking, does Dave do this every week? I don't. Just to confirm that with you. But we're going to move over to a bit close to lectern. Over 6 months ago, I decided I needed to get fit. I needed to do some exercise. I haven't done any for years, and I needed to do something. So I decided to do running. It's easy, it's cheap, you don't need a lot, you can just go out and do it. Or so I thought. And I went out, lovely sunny day, towards the end of the day, off I went running, had a great time, was very out of breath and very sweaty. So a few days later, I decided, hey, I'm going to do this again. So out I went running again, I got round the corner and stopped. My calf went, I was hobbling, I was in all sorts of a state. So I had to stop running for a while. Then, beginning of this year, I thought, I really need to do this. I really need to commit to this. So, I started again. Went out for my first run. All good. Went out for my second run. It was good. I was ready to go. So, third run, off I went. Round the corner. Slightly further away from home. But I did my calf again. And it's taken a few weeks to get over that. And I was sharing this with one of my friends as I went out walking with them. And I was saying, I'm fed up of this. I'm so frustrated. And he recommended to me compression socks, which is what I'm wearing. He said, they look after your calf. They just help. So I took his advice and I bought some. And I've now ran 3 times and I'm doing okay at the minute. I still need to make sure I'm warming up properly and other things. But I took his advice. And it was easy for him to give. And this morning, I want to talk to us about sharing advice, because it's just so easy to do, isn't it? We all love to share advice. We all love to give information that we think would help someone else. Whether it be sports, cooking, gardening, cleaning, organization, the latest bargain, we all love to share something that we think will bless someone else. And sharing advice is so easy to do. So sharing our faith shouldn't be any different. We believe that it would benefit the other person, not for a week, not for a month, not for their exercise, but for all eternity. But it just is more difficult. It just is. And this morning I want to encourage you and build your faith in our value, sharing your faith, sharing our faith. Last week, Neil inspired us with the value of loving the Ramsden estate. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, it is well worth listening to. But we love the Ramsden estate. We are here to bless the Ramsden estate. But the biggest way that we can bless the Ramsden estate is by telling people about Jesus. And the things that we do, the ministries that we run, the community fridge, the community garden, the job club, the life skills, the get active, the things that we run from here to develop friendship and relationship with people, we hope will lead to opportunities to share the gospel with them, to share about the hope that we have. And this morning we're going to look from Acts chapter 8. So if you've got a Bible, you may want to get it. And to sort of briefly set the context. Jesus has died. He's risen from the dead 3 days later, and he appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days. And then he returned. He returned to heaven, where he is now seated on high. And after Jesus left, the disciples had a life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came and they were sent out and they spoke to the crowd and they told them about Jesus. They spoke boldly. And we're told that 3,000 responded to the gospel that day. And since that moment, people are being added daily. People are being saved. The church was growing, but it remained in Jerusalem. Let's read Acts chapter 8. It says this. I'm going from verse 1, but there's a tiny bit of verse 1 that I'm not going to read, because it kind of relates to what's gone before. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits came out of many, crying with a loud voice. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Let's pray. Yeah, Father, we just want to pray that you would speak to us, Lord. Would you inspire us this morning that you want to use each and every one of us to share life and joy and peace with our friends, with our neighbors, with our families, with our relatives. Lord, would you build faith into us and would you encourage us to be bold? Lord, the disciples earlier in Acts prayed for boldness, and we want to pray that we would be a bold people to share our faith whenever we have an opportunity. We pray that you would do a work by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got 4 points this morning. And the first is, we all have something to share. The circumstances that caused the church to scatter was the martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death because of what he said about Jesus. And this event ignited a systematic wave of persecution against the church. Verse 3, we read that Paul was ravaging the church. He was going from door to door, dragging off men and women. There was no mercy. He was on a mission. But before this moment, the Jerusalem church was both an exciting and an amazingly wonderful place to be. Miracles were happening. People shared possessions in such a way that no one said, this is mine, this is mine. They shared things together in common. And this promise that God, when God came in his Holy Spirit, that they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, had not been fulfilled. They were still in Jerusalem. In fact, those who had come to the Feast of Pentecost, those who had come from all those different nations that we read in Acts 2, Parthians, and I won't go through the full list, they'd all come in. And what had happened is those who had come in had just stayed. They'd joined the church, they'd just stayed. They'd never returned home. And the impact of the gospel was primarily in Jerusalem. And this attack on the church, which was no doubt meant to smother the gospel, was actually just going to be the wind that blew it further and further afield. And we're told in verse 1 that all were scattered except the apostles. Except the apostles. What happens next was not a well-organized evangelistic mission. It was just normal people. Just normal people sharing their faith as they went. They just shared it with each other. It was organic. And God still uses ordinary people like you to share the good news with others. To share your story of faith. You don't have to be able to defend your faith from every argument, but you can talk about what's happened in your life. Listen to what God's been doing in Maidstone in North Kent. We're here with Dave White from Grace Community Church in Edenbridge. And Dave shared a couple of our Regions Beyond meetings, just what the exciting things that have been going on, not in Edenbridge, but in Maidstone. And I just wanted him to encourage us really about what God can do when he gets hold of one person. So I'll hand over to you, Dave.
Thanks ever so much, Dave. It's great to be here and share with you. Actually, it's not just Maidstone; it's across North Kent.
Brilliant.
We after we went into lockdown, well, of course, like everybody, we wondered what on earth to do. We had an alpha that was ongoing at the time, so we finished that off online. And then we thought, well, let's do another online alpha. And it really was just like that. Well, we've never tried this before. Will it work? How on earth is it going to work? So we thought we'd just advertise it on Facebook and on the website and things. And we had a number of people want to join us, one or two from Edenbridge, someone from Swanley, someone from Tunbridge Wells, and someone from Maidstone. And we started off, and the guy from Maidstone I'd met once before and had a coffee with him just before lockdown started. And I knew he'd just become a Christian. He was a man in his early 60s, and he'd just become a Christian. Tragic story, really. His life had just fallen apart. He was a very, very successful businessman. Things had gone badly wrong in business and his personal life all at the same time. And he'd come to faith partly as a result of all that. And he was really just one of those people that was just soaking the good news up as much as he could get of it, he wanted. And he very quickly introduced us to another couple in Maidstone, a young couple who he met. And they joined the Alpha about 3 weeks in. They were already Christians. They were from Brazil, actually, but they really didn't know very much at all. They were very young Christians. So they joined and began to soak up what we were saying, just showing the Alpha films. And then a discussion afterwards, very simple, very straightforward. Yeah. They would ask questions. We would try and answer them. When it came to the Holy Spirit sessions, we thought, well, this is going to be interesting. We can't meet and pray for them. So we just prayed over the screen, and they got filled with the Spirit. And two of them spoke in tongues straight away. Another lady was healed a couple of weeks later as we prayed. And we still had not really met them in the flesh at all. So it was great to see that happening. And the guy I want mainly to talk about, he was really devouring everything and reading books and asking questions. And when it came to the Alpha, we did a bit of a discipleship course follow on from the Alpha because they'd done all done so well. Still not been able to invite them to the church like we would normally have done. Thank goodness, as it happens, because actually God had other plans. And then he said, well, I've got a job at a care home for ex-prisoners, basically. And he said, I've decided to do night shifts because that way I will have more time to myself. I won't have so many duties. I've just got to be there. I can pray and I can read. And maybe I can talk to the guys there as well about the faith. Yeah. So he did. And he did talk about his faith in the care home. And he said, I'm going to start an Alpha course in the care home. I've asked the manager. And she says, yes, of course you can. And here's £10 a head to go and buy Chinese takeaway for them all each time you do Alpha. So
that's amazing.
So I think they were just glad that there was somebody doing something with these guys, really. Because I think it was the sort of guys who you don't really know what to do with, really. They were disturbed. They were difficult. They were, hardy guys. So he started an Alpha with them. And it's just been great because every week he comes, shares with me, and more of them have come to faith. And in the meantime, what I'd done with them was with the three of them, with Mike and with the couple from Maidstone, I said, well, let's meet together every week anyway on Zoom, and was just start going through Acts of the Apostles. And it was a discipleship group, really.
Yeah.
And I just was teaching them all the basics again and again and again, and telling them about sharing Jesus, really. And I kept saying things to them like, what I'm sharing with you, you can share with others. That's the purpose of this. And I kept saying that to them. And it's thrilling, really, because Mike came back to me and said, we're just telling them all the things that you tell us, Dave. When they ask a question, I just say what you said to me. And I think, well, that is so good to hear that people are, that there's someone who's taking on what's been taught and passing it on to others. So he's been doing that. On one occasion, he actually, I mean, he's never seen such a thing as an altar call, but he effectively did an altar call in the dining room there, because he said, "I've written out here a prayer of repentance. If anybody wants to come and pray this prayer and commit to Jesus, stand up and come here and you can read it with me." So they all came forward.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I mean, there's a lot of groundwork to do there. Of course there is. They're guys with difficult backgrounds, but they're meeting Jesus. They said to Mike last week, he said, "No, we want Alpha. We know football's on, but we can watch the football later. We want to do the Alpha first."
Which
is great.
Absolutely amazing.
The next sort of step that he's done is he's been talking to his family, and we're just about to start a new Alpha next week, which Sue is actually going to lead with one of the other men in the church this time. And his son now wants to do the Alpha as well, his adult son. So he's joining on the Alpha. And one of the other ladies who was on that first Alpha, her brother-in-law is doing an Alpha with us at the moment. And now his wife is wanting to do the next Alpha as well. So it's spreading in that family as well. Wow. So this is just great. It's sort of spreading in community groups.
I'm sorry to have to cut that a little bit short, but it's very exciting to hear what God is doing when God gets hold of normal people. Just saved recently on an Alpha course and suddenly wanting to share his faith with his workplace. It's just an incredible story of what God does when we just are willing to bring him into our conversations, and where we want to see others' lives changed by the gospel. The second thing I want to say is that God wants to use us outside of the church building. Philip was one of those who was scattered and moved away from the gathering church. And he went to Samaria. And it's not clear what city he went to, but what stands out as you read it is the word Samaria. 1,000 years of history meant Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. Yet Philip goes there because he believes everybody deserves to hear the gospel. He believes they deserve to hear the gospel. And I love this. I love this because this is a great truth. That no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what you've done, you deserve to hear the gospel. And it was in this scattering that Philip could meet people who would never have come to the gathered church in Jerusalem. 1,000 years of history kept them away from Jerusalem. Yet Philip goes to where they are. And Philip saw God move in power as he spoke about Jesus. He prayed for the sick. He saw people set free from demonic oppression. God was at work outside the gathered church. I'm totally passionate about the church. Totally believe that God's work, God is doing a great work in the church, and when people are saved and people respond to the gospel, that they need to be added to the church. I totally believe in the church. But God has a mission for us outside of our gathered meetings. There was a film a number of years ago called Field of Dreams, and Kevin Costner walks into the field and he's told in the air, he's told, "If you build it, he will come." And what happens is he builds this baseball field and all these old players come and play there. Bit of a strange film. But that term, "if you build it, he will come," or "if you build it, they will come," is what applies to many businesses. McDonald's, if you build a McDonald's, people will turn up, they will come. But that's not true about church. We need to go. We need to go outside. And there's people who are living near to you right now who aren't planning to come to this church, who aren't planning to turn up one Sunday morning. They're far away from church. They're far away from Jesus. But you get to talk to them. You get to speak to them. And you may be the only Christian person they know. And God wants to use you. It's incredibly humbling. But it's as the church is scattered in the week, as we're all doing our own things in our own areas, with some of us, I mean, we're not doing a lot at the minute, but there's opportunities that we have with neighbours, and as things release, there's going to be many opportunities. And it's as we're scattered, and as we all have 20 or 30 people who we talk to, that actually we can be very, very active. And it's opportunities for us to connect and minister with those who don't know Jesus. I can remember when I left my job in a local school. I was going off to South Africa, and what they used to do is that you used to have an opportunity to sit and to speak to the staff, to say a few words. And I just shared some of the things that were on my heart. I shared about my philosophies of education and the way that I had worked with those who struggled with education. And the way that I sought to help them and to encourage them that although they might not be successful in education terms, that they could still be successful in life. And I shared about South Africa and some of the things that were on my heart. And I didn't expect it, but later that evening, we went out for a few drinks together. I was totally taken back when this young guy who'd been there, I don't know, a year or so, younger than me, he was active, he was good looking, he seemed to have everything going for him. And he spoke to me and he said, "The stuff that you said really spoke to me." And we spoke. And he was in tears. And it was an opportunity for me to talk about God's grace, that past mistakes don't have to be your identity. You're not, what's happened in the past doesn't have to be what will define you. And God wants to use you to bring light and to bring peace and to speak into people's hearts. The third thing I want to say is that we need to be intentional, but also ready to respond. Philip was intentional as he left Jerusalem. He intentionally went and he had good news to share, and that's what he did. He saw miracles happen. He saw people's lives changed. And Alan Scott, in his excellent book, Scattered Servant, says that everyone has a hidden hurt. Things may look good on the outside. People may look happy. People may look like nothing bothers them. But all of us have things deep down in our hearts that we wrestle with. Deep down where we need God to come and touch us. And Alan encourages us to pray that God would reveal those things to us. Think about Jesus with the woman at the well and the way that he spoke to her and spoke about her husbands that she'd divorced. And suddenly her walls came crumbling down and she was open and ready to listen to what Jesus said. And God wants to use us to speak into people's lives and to show them that they're known by God and they're loved by God. And we can say that, but sometimes a word of insight, a word of knowledge where it shows information that we don't know, but God speaks it through us, and suddenly that person knows, God loves me. God can reveal his love to them, and they can know that they're known by God. I've asked TJ just to share something that's happened in the last couple of weeks.
Good morning, Unity Church. I'm here just wanted to share something which God has been doing in my life and my friends' lives. I've been praying for my friends at work. They know that I'm a Christian, but I've been praying for them. This lockdown, I decided to pray for my family, for my friends, those who don't know Jesus Christ, to come in contact with him. And then a miracle happened. One of my friends had a dream, and in the dream, I was in the dream as well, and he was directing him. He was preaching in that dream about Jesus Christ. And he called me the next day to explain to me about this dream. And I think God is calling him to do evangelical ministry, because he was preaching to many people. He speaks Portuguese, but in that dream he said to me, when he was directed to me, I was telling him what to do, and then he started preaching in English fluently, which was amazing for him. And then after the dream, he couldn't sleep, so he called me early in the morning, and he shared that with me. So I just want to encourage you, if you've been praying for the, your loved ones, for your friends at work, God is still in control. God can change lives. Just one prayer can make a difference. One person can be saved and become a very well-known evangelist and bring a lot of people to God because of your obedience. That's why we need to pray for each other, for our family. That's all I wanted to encourage you.
As we intentionally pray for those who don't yet know God, God will answer our prayers. But we must also walk slowly and move through life slowly enough to be able to respond to his promptings. We need to be a bit like meerkats. They're always on the lookout, aren't they? If you've ever watched meerkats, you see they're always up on their hind legs, ready to look. And we need to be like that. We need to be ready and looking for opportunities where God wants us to come and bring some hope and come and bring some joy, come and bring some peace, come and point people to the fact that there's a God who cares for them and wants to and has a plan for their lives and wants to show them his love. We need to look out for those opportunities. So it's being intentional with our prayers, but also going slowly enough and being aware enough to see those opportunities that might open before us. The fourth thing I want to say, and it's this final verse, is that there was much joy in that city. The impact of Philip arriving in the Samaritan town was joy. Why? Not because of Philip, but joy as the kingdom of God came and people were set free. And God wants to use you to bring joy where you go. Not everyone will respond well to the gospel. We see that even in the way that Saul responds at the beginning. And if we kept reading through Acts, we would see that there is confrontation, there is persecution, but there is also much joy. There are many who respond. And God wants to impact our towns and cities with joy as his kingdom comes. And it's as we're scattered in the week, as we're witnesses, as we're taking those opportunities and we're praying for God's kingdom to come to those we meet. It's as that happens that God's kingdom comes and we see him move in power. We have something amazing to share with the world. And yes, it might not be quite as easy as giving good advice, but it's definitely a lot more exciting and infinitely more valuable. I want to finish with just a final section which I want to encourage you. Right now, this is from Scattered Servants. We've mentioned it a few times the last couple of weeks. If you've not got it, it's really well worth reading. It's inspiring. Right now, as you read this book, God is looking for ways to help people connect with his purposes for their lives. God is inviting people all over your community to take a spiritual journey from their pain and brokenness, abuse and abandonment, isolation and fear, and to bring them into a close connection with him. Our role is simply to partner with him, to work together to release what is good. Our role is not to win the lost. We don't do that. Our role is to leave the building in pursuit of the one who lives among the low and the contrite, the humble and the despised, the needy and the thirsty. Our role is to move when he moves. It's what scattered servants do. I hope you've been encouraged by that. I'm going to hand back to Peter and Lynn, who are going to lead us in our final song, which is about God setting his rule and reign in our hearts and seeing God's kingdom come and lives change, communities change as God's kingdom comes. And we get that amazing privilege of being part of what God is doing on earth. And God wants to use you in that. And I want to encourage you with that this morning.